Okay, so we're up to Simon Yud. Hilchos Tefillin. Now, before we begin Hilchos Tefillin, it's important to note that Rav Ganzfried, who wrote Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, also wrote a very important sefer called Keses HaSofer. Keses HaSofer are all the laws of Stam. Stam stands for Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzos. Today, in this modern world, in order to be permitted to be accepted as a sofer that can write tefillin and mezuzos, you have to receive what's called Kabbalah. Just like a rav is not technically allowed to practice halacha, to paskin shas, unless he has smicha. Okay, our smicha today is of course symbolic, it's not a real smicha, but it's accepted, you have smicha from a higher institution of learning. So who gives you smicha? A lot of people give smicha, different types of smicha, but you have to have smicha. If you want to be a sofer that's going to write sefer Torah, tefillin and mezuzos, you need what's called Kabbalah. It's not called smicha, there's a term called Kabbalah. So there are organizations, you don't technically need, if you don't have Kabbalah and you write a sefer Torah, tefillin and mezuzos, it's also kosher as long as it's accepted that you know the halachas. But today, you know, everything is a business today, and everything is, there's industry standards today, and a sefer today, no one today can survive, no one will be accepted today unless they have that piece of paper. You're not going to be able, no retailer will sell your tefillin and mezuzos, or even privately, you're going to have a hard time selling your tefillin and mezuzos unless you have a piece of paper that says you are a baki in the laws of Hilchos, Ksivas, Sefer Torah, tefillin and mezuzos. There are a few organizations, some of them are very powerful and very influential. The main one is VAD Mishmeres Stam. They're a very big organization. In fact, they wanted to be the only organization. I'll tell you a lot of stories. That whole issue came out with the computer software, where they scan Sefer Torah and to check for chaseris, v'yaseris, and the missing letters. So then the other people that also wanted, it's big business. It cost a lot of money. It used to cost a fortune of money. It cost two Sefer Torah, it cost $1,000. The skin of Sefer Torah, it's a lot of money involved. So other people, also everyone. The last computer programmers, a lot of people have access to the software. To make the software, different types of software, they wanted to have a monopoly, pretty much, on the whole software industry. They went to the entire, and they lost. And basically, it's splintered. There are other organizations which also give Kabbalah and also have rights. But the point is, you have to have a Ksav Kabbalah from a legitimate organization. And those, there are different levels of different levels of Kabbalah to write. There's a much higher level to be a Magia, to be permitted to correct, to inspect. It's one thing to write a mezuzah, but do you have a right to check a mezuzah, to make sure if someone brings you a mezuzah, to tell you that it's kosher? That's a higher level, because they have many different complications that arise in checking to determine the paskin if it's kosher or not kosher. That's a higher level. But the basic level of knowing of Kabbalah, you have to know the sefer keses haSefer. You have to know that sefer. Sefer must, that sefer is a must. All of the, you have to Mishnah Berurah, Siman Lamed Beis, and the Mishnah Sefer, Chavetz Chaim, his parish on the laws of Hilchos Tefillin, and he wrote a special contrast in the back of Chilek Aleph Mishnah Berurah about the Tzuras HaOisios, and then there's this sefer called Keses HaSefer that was authored by the same one of Gansri, the same one who wrote the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, which is a must. It's a must for a sefer. And then today, there have been so many things have been published to supplement. They use the Keses HaSefer as a text, and they supplement it, and they go into much greater detail. So therefore, the point I want to make is that you can be sure that when the Afghansid wrote the Chel, the section in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch on Hilchos Tefillin, and then after Hilchos Tefillin, we have Hilchos Mezuzah, so you can be sure it was written with the ultimate precision, because this was his expertise. Yeah.
For a layman going into my mitzvah or whatever, or by mezuzah, what would you recommend that you do? Do you take you go to the shame of the person you're buying it from, the shame of the storekeeper, like you go to Judaica place and have a lamb, you go to Eichler's,
Okay, so that's it. You have to very complicated. It's not for now. It's a very complicated issue. I'll tell you different things later on. There are a lot of factors. Every you can't generalize. There are a lot of things to talk about. Okay, it's not for now. If you want to buy a mezuzah, right? Okay, maybe we should talk about. You want to buy? You go into a store. So generally, it's not a good idea to go into a Judaica store. Not that there's anything wrong to go into a Judaica store, but that's not their specialty. Judaica store, they sell sfarim, they sell gift items. They also sell mezuzos because people walking off the street, they want a mezuzah, but they're not focused on mezuzos. It's much better to go to a person who deals primarily with, this is their specialty. And they can tell you who the sefer is, and they can tell you if the sefer has ksav kabbalah, and if it's been checked by a computer, and the quality, and they can show you different qualities. You go into a Judaica store, maybe they have a person that's extremely knowledgeable, but generally the Judaica stores, it's not their specialty. Their specialty is Sfarim and Judaica items. Tefillin and mezuzos is not their specialty. They will carry it because people come and ask them for it. It's much better to go to a specialist in Hilchos Stam, without question. Okay, then there are different levels. Then you go to retailers, and you go there like Vad Mishmer Stam on Coney Island Avenue. Okay, it's a Judaica store, but the Judaica is not their specialty. Judaica is only because people come in and ask for that also. Their specialty is Sifrei Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzos. But they're retailers.
You're talking about Rabbi Pinkus?
Rabbi Pinkus.
And he's a sefer.
He's a sefer, exactly. That is his specialty. That is his specialty. And the retail is extremely professional. But then you have people Rabbi Pinkus, I'm sure he writes, but he doesn't write everything that he sells in the store. He carries an enormous amount from many different sofers.
Name brands too. Every sofer is
in. Exactly. And then there's like buying from a private person. That's a whole different type of store. You buy from, this one, that one. This is a sofer in the basement here and there. Vamishmer Stam is one incredible mile they have. Is they have a team of people working together. Very big. There's a lot of criticisms that people have for Seifrim is they're all alone in a basement and they're writing all alone. When you're all alone, you tend to slacken off and you cut corners. When you're part of a team, ish esrieu yomer chazak. That's a post that's said by Avodah Zarah. We had that. But yeah, exactly. You go there, you go upstairs, there's a team of Seifrim. And it's very impressive. And it's a team of young and older Seifrim, more experienced Seifrim, and newer Seifrim, and everyone is doing their thing. They have a batamach on the premises, and they have this one is doing the mezuzah, this one does Sefer Torah, and this one does that, this one's in the. And it's very impressive. And you're paying for it also, and rightfully so. You should pay for it. If you'll go and you'll buy someone's writing a tefillin in the basement somewhere, so he doesn't have the overhead of running a professional store, but one person alone, even no matter how good they are, it's not the same as when you are in an environment, a professional environment where there are many people, each one enhances the other. Okay, so, but there are many things, maybe we'll discuss some of those things as we go through the halachas of, but let's just jump into the laws. Halachas, page Samach Gimel, Hilchas Tefillin, Boichal of Sifim, Mitzvah Tefillin, He, Gam Kein, Mitzvah Yikarbos. We have to remember, whatever he says, we can assume it's written with the utmost precision, because this was his specialty. Mitzvah Tefillin, He, Gam Kein, Mitzvah Yikarbos. Mitzvah Tefillin is Yikara, is precious. Shekol ha'atar hukshol l'tfilin, the entire Torah is compared to tfilin l'man tihiyah toiras Hashem b'ficha. Shenem l'man tihiyah Hashem b'ficha, mi she'inu meniach tfilin, a person does not wear tfilin, harei hu b'chlal poishe yisrol b'gufan. A special term Chazal have invented for one that does not wear tfilin in the guf. The guf itself has sinned, because tfilin are tied. It is the only mitzvah that you tied to your body, even tzitzis, you drape over your body, and before you blink, the tzitzis fall off. Right, you turn around, and the tzitzis fall off your body. Tefillin, can you imagine? You actually tie the tefillin onto your body. It's the only mitzvah where smila is an incision that's made in the body. Okay, in Hanami, there's a whole connection between bris milah and tefillin. That's one of the similarities. Bris Milah is an incision in the body itself. Tefillin is something which you tie with a knot to your body. So the person that wears tefillin, this is the thing which the Kitzur Chlarach over and over stresses. That's one problem. Okay, so you know with the tefillin. Ella, again, this theme he pounds away over and over. Shemavorich kama v'kama brachos levatola. And the brachos levatola is a davar chomer armot shehu avoin gadol. Ulechein if yidachtik lignas tulim is in sefer mumche. Buy tulim from a sefer mumche. The Yare Shemayim, V'chein Ritzuah Siknem Ish Neman. Ritzuahs are very important. There were many scandals about Ritzuahs. Even recently, about a month ago, it was always in the news. I don't know why. Always in the news, stories about Ritzuahs. Ritzuahs are not made properly, they're not done properly, they're manufactured here and there. You have to be careful to make sure that you buy a Ritzuahs that are 100%, because most of the Ritzuahs that we buy today are fine. They're talking about very low-end Ritzuahs. The scandals with the Ritzuahs, you hear in the news, the Eretz Yisrael, everyone has to wear tefillin, Baruch Hashem, and not everyone is expensive. To go buy a good pair of Ritzuahs can cost at least $75, between $50 and $75. It's a lot of money. So some people don't want to spend the money. They want to go buy Ritzuahs for $10. So you can get for $10 Ritzuahs. Those type of low-end Ritzuahs for $10, unfortunately, can be kosher. They can be very kosher, but unfortunately, people who are taking advantage can cut corners and have them made in China, and they're not made lishma, and they're made with inks which are not from the best types of from not kosher animals, can be problematic. But you are certain the have to be processed lishma l'shem mitzvahs tefillin from kosher hides, not from non kosher animals. He's running back in his time in our great sins. Rabba hamachshala, the stumbling is great. Bamesh kainim tefillin ritzuos mimish shahu mimish shu. A person years ago, people would just buy tefillin ritzuos to anyone you want. Lemish shemarchem zol. The ikar is whoever sells it cheap. Go on eBay, check it out. Go on eBay, type in tefillin, type in Sefer Torah. You'll be shocked what you'll see. You'll be shocked what you'll find. Type in tefillin, you can buy very cheap, and some of them appear to be good. Some of them can be stolen. The whole Yerushmaim meeting in Liban was Yerushmaim shall pay close attention. Im al malbusha of a kale person, when it comes to his clothing, he wears a nice clothing and he has a beautiful home. Whom hader sheyu kiti kunam should be proper. Mikol shekain v'cheftze Hashem misbrach shmo shlo yitzamtzim person not be cheap. The yoches ala kesef, do not have rachmanis on your money when it comes to purchase beautiful tefillin and mezuzos. Ella. We want to be 100% certain that they are kosher. Even if you're going to pay a lot of money, it's kedai sometimes to pay more money to get something that you know is very kosher. You should be very careful to make sure that they are musukonim, they are perfect, and make sure that the ritzuos are 100% black. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch of Gansfield is very makbid on something which we don't do. It's not accepted. The chudim. When you look at your ritzuos, most people the ritzuos. So it comes in one big. When they manufacture the ritzuos, it's one big piece of leather, and they paint it, and then they cut it. It's a machine that cut. The truth is, they cut. If you ever watch, you can go online. They have videos. They show you how they make. They really cut it in a circle. They don't cut. How are they going to cut? They have a big piece of material. If you're going to cut it along the length, it's not going to be long enough. So they cut it in a circle. That's what you notice. The ritzuos, they're always like a little bit angular. They're a little bit curved. They have a very big, large piece of cloth. They cut it in a circular way. So when you cut it, the chudin, the sides are not black. The only thing which is black is just the surface. The surface is black. The Mishnah Brura explicitly says that this is a halacha l'moshe Mesinai, that the ritzuos need to be black only first to the surface. The sides do not need to be black. The chudin, certainly the underside does not need to be black. The keses ha-soifer is machmir. He explicitly disagrees with the Mishnah Brura. He holds that the sides, the chudin, must be black. the minhag ha'olam is not to be machmir. The minhag ha'olam is we don't make the size. Like there are some people that are very into kesa sefer, so they take paint wherever they turn and they make the chudim black. Those two buy the black and black. There's a new thing today. You buy ritzus, which are black and black. It's black on the back side also. So that has the nyla that the chudim are also black. But that's also controversial. If it's a proper thing to do, maybe we'll discuss that a little bit later. But he emphasizes that if you look very carefully in how he writes, I always find it interesting, look very carefully in the Kitzur Shachlach, how he writes Tfilin, you can find references, hints, or they're like 40 in slips in his mindset. When if you learn Keses HaSofer, and then you go back and you learn how he writes about Tfilin and Mezuzos in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, you see the 40 in slips that fell into the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And one thing how he emphasized with such severity, make sure they're black. Because he is from the Machmirim in how black the Ritzuos have to be, even the sides of the Ritzuos, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch holds, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch should be completely black. Let's go further. You should constantly smear your ritzus with shuman. Okay, I'm not familiar with this. They used to have, I guess, some type of fat, black fat, which darkened the ritzus. And he says, be careful, make sure this paint, this fat that you apply to your ritzus kosher, for lo yimshachem b'shemen dog hanikra, whatever that word is, ki humi dog tame. Make sure the shuman is kosher fat. Yim niskalklu hat tefil, that feel rak b'miksas, oish nifsuku hat tefilos, if the tefil are partially damaged, even if the tefilos, the stitches must be also perfectly square. Yase miyad she'elas chacham, show your tefillin to a talmud chacham im heim kisherim. Uviyoyse yesh l'dachtek al hakranos. Be very careful; the corners are perfectly square. Uviprat b'shalrosh she'yeh shushchiach meoid she'mishta. What's that word over there? She'mishtakos. They get worn out. The nasu sham nikaviv, the nifsulu, they get worn out and they get holes developed and become puzzled. Okay, most of us have gasos, and the gasos, it's not a shkir today that you have holes, it's not going to happen, the corner's not going to get, you're not going to get rubbed out so quickly. This refers more to the dakos. And there are different types, there are three different types of tefillin. There's pshutos, dakos, and gasos. No one should have pshutos. Okay, that, no one here in this room should be wearing pshutos like cardboard boxes. They're also kosher, but it's like they could even come in sets.
It's
like
a piece of common today.
What? No, it's common. There, it's Israel. They still make them. They still make them. They're extremely cheap. It doesn't cost more than a few dollars. They're like mass produced, and they're like it's almost like cardboard, but they're made from leather. They're made from leather, and they're cut. So you basically assemble them. It's like a kit. You buy a kit, a cardboard machine cuts in a certain way, and you just put it together, and you put the parachutes inside. You already have tefillin, extremely cheap. But there are a lot of problems, many, many problems with the pshutos, and no one should have pshutos. Then there are dakos, which are made from leather, but it's very thin leather. And they're also, that's really what it's referring to. Those types too were very common years ago, and because the technology didn't exist. Technology didn't exist to make gasos. So today, the technology is out of this world. I'm sure you all seen demonstrations and videos for how they make tefillin today. And but the dakos, it could happen very easily that they get out of shape, they're no longer square, or the corners get bent, the corners are rounded, and then you have all of these problems. If you have gasos are expensive. The batim that are gasos cost at least $300. I don't think you can buy a batim. That's about the parashios. I don't think you can buy batim gasos that are less than $300, and they go up. I mean, you can buy batim for, I'm sure, well over $1,000. That's just the batim. And then the parashios, you can buy parashios for $2,000. You can buy a $3,000 pair of tefillin. And many, many, many gadol, many people, they say, don't buy that for bar mitzvah boy. It's not right. Bar mitzvah boy, you buy a nice pair of tefillin today cost a little bit more, even more.
Roughly.
Right, you buy a bar mitzvah boy, you don't buy, you spend more than $1,000. A good pair of tefillin, a good pair is about $1,000 today. So, people have the money, you go buy exotic tefillin. You want to go buy a tefillin for $3,000, you can buy it for $3,000. It's a mishigas. A bar mitzvah boy doesn't need a $3,000 pair of tefillin. You should buy for him a pair of tefillin that's $200. That's also not a mahalach. Buy a chosha pair of tefillin that today is about, you have to throw a pinkas, it's about regular, about $1,000. A little bit more, even a little bit more. But, okay, the cholazor b'mitzvah tefillin l'nag b'hem kedusha shalol l'davim chem divrei havalim sichas. Now he talks about some busser. You should be extremely careful not to speak when you're ready to not to speak divrei havalim b'sichas chulin. No schmoozing, no schmoozing narishkeit. When you're wearing the tefillin, you have to remember that Kadosh Baruch Hu's name is upon you. Ma'arich yamim. So he says over here at Shemitah bracha, a skula for arichas yamim is not to talk with your tefillin dvarim v'tehilim. Umuftach shu ben. If you're careful with your tefillin, you are guaranteed that you are a ben and Lamosh Nemar Hashem Aleihem, when Hashem's name is upon them, referring to Klal Yisrael. Hashem here refers to the tefillin which have Hashem's name. Shneis Maleim Shem Hashem b'tefillin Yichyu, they will live, and they will live means they will live in this world and live in the next world. This world Arichas Yamim, and Ben Olam Haba in Yom Shekul Arich and Olam Haba. Ulechein, and to all of them, all of those people. Chaye ruchi, my life, my that have the life of my spirit, which means vatacha limeni vehachayeni. I have given them strength and life. I have revived them and have given them life. And this refers to l'chol bohen, part of the conclusion of the pasuk. All of those people that wear Hashem, that I am within them, meaning that the tefillin is upon them and my name is upon them, they will be will come to life and will be alive. They will be revived. Vatachalimeni. They will be revived, and they will be resurrected. They will live, referring to Olam Haba. Tefillin huloshen pelila v'hoychacha. What does tefillin mean? Tefillin means to argue. Hoychacha means to pray. Contention. Ulechein for halamid degusha. There is a dot in the lamid of tefillin. Whenever there is a dot, it means it's as if there are two letters. There's like a shvanoch and a shvanoch. When there is a dot in the letter, it's pelila. Pelila pays lamed lamed. Pelila. Like a chirik, or you could put the yud in there. A chirik male. And pelila means to argue or to persuade, to make a strong request. So tefillin hu lashon pelila v'hoychacha v'lechein halamid degusha l'malos chesaron hashnia, to make believe as if there is an additional lamid. So if the word tefillin and drop the tough, focus on the pay and pelila lashon pelu pay lamid ki hatefillin heim edus v'hoychacha she'ashchina shor oleinu, they are our advocate. Okay, that's really what it means. The tefillin, we're wearing tefillin, they are serving, the tefillin themselves are coming to make requests and demands from a Kadosh Baruch Hu to be mechiach, to argue with Kadosh Baruch Hu that Hashem should protect us. Wearing tefillin is how you always have it on top of you, an advocate, someone or an object that is serving as your advocate. Kamosh Nemar Kasa, Vero Kol Ami Aritzki Shem Hashem Nikro Lecha, Vedarshu Rabbeinu Eilu Tfilin Shabiro Sheyesh Boshin, Me Hashem Shakai. So he's telling us another Chiddush, that the Shin on the Tfilin is the first letter of Hashem's name, Shin Dalad Yud. The Dalad is the Kesher Shal on the Tfilin, and the Yud is on the Kesher Shal Yad. By the way, not everyone agrees with this. There's a whole line of reasoning that the Shin on top of the Tfilin is not Hashem's name. The Shin is just a Kabbalistic symbol. It's a Kabbalistic symbol. There are three branches. There's nothing to do with the letter Shin. That's not the way Rashi. Rashi in the Gemara says that the Shin on the Tefillin is the first letter of Shakai. And we combine that Shin with the Dalet, the Kesher, and the Yud. It's a little bit difficult because why are you combining the Shin in the folds of the Tefillin, of the Bayis, with the way the Ritzuos are formed to form a Dalit, and then we have a Yud on the Tilo Shalyat. You're combining too many things together. Therefore, there's a whole school of thought, the other Rishon, that it's nothing more than just a Kabbalistic symbol of three branches extending upwards on the right side, and four branches extending upward on the left side. L'may nafkemina, on the Tfilin, do you put Tagim? On the Shin Shel Rosh. If you take out one of these encyclopedias on Tefillin, they'll show you the molds that they insert into the bias in the factory to make the Shin. There are probably 50 of them, all different minhagim. There's the Hasidisha, and the Arizal, the Lubavitch, and there's Beis Yosef and Ari, and then there's Vilish. There are many different types of shin. Some people do want the tagim, some don't want the tagim, and the truth is, even according to the Nusach Ashkenaz, the shin on the Tefillin Shel Rosh is not the way we write a shin in the Sefer Torah today, because the shin must come and point to the center. The point comes to the center. When you write a shin in a Sefer Torah, the leg is not in the center. Look very carefully in the shin of Sefer Torah, the leg is on the left. What is a shin? A shin is really a zayin, which goes straight down. That's how it's written. Comes straight down. And then, from that corner, it branches out on an angle to yuds. So if you were to put a real shin on your tefillin, then the point of the shin would not be in the center of your tefillin. Would that be the center? That is ma'akib. One of the halachas that's ma'akib when the tefillin is that the center of the shin, the point on the bottom of the shin should be perfectly in the center. If you were writing a halachic shin in the Sefer Torah, you would not put that point in the center. That point is pushed off slightly to the left, because the way the shin is written in Ksav Ashuris and in Ksav Ari and even in Ksav Vilish is it comes straight down on the left, and then to the side two things branch out. So it's not really a shin. We fudge it a little bit. So once we're fudging a little bit, why would you want to put tagin? It's not a shin. So Rashi disagrees. Rashi says, no, this is the letter shin. If it's the letter shin, so if you can be mahader, and you can add tagin to the shin, very nice. Not tagim anoyim. And not everyone has tagim. Certainly not ma'akev the tagim on the shin. But look around, next thing you look around in shul, you look around people's shins, all different types of shins. Some are all different types of minhagim, and if you get a chance to go look in one of these books, you'll see all different plates for all different types of shins. But here, over here, the Kitzur says that the shin is Me'ashem Shaka L'chein Ein L'chaz Tzulun Shel Rosh L'gami Imatalis, and he says something very important, and this we're going to learn in the Kitzur later. But being that on your tefillin you do have a shin, when you wear your tefillin you should not completely cover the tefillin. People will wear the talis over their head, so we have to be careful, they should not completely cover it. They have to leave it a little bit open that you can see. Right, shnag over, because some people have a tendency, especially on Shabbos, on the Yom Noirahim, they want, you know, privacy. When they daven, they want to be in Hespoidedus. So they put the whole talis over their head and they completely cover it. So, right, so maybe on Shabbos and the end of the Yom Noirahim, we're not wearing until it's not such a good idea, but suddenly they get carried away. They think they're very religious during the weekday. They want to concentrate the full degree. They take the talis and they completely wrap it over their head. That's no good. Because by completely wrapping it over your head, you're covering the tefillin, you're covering the shin. And it's meant to be that the shin should be exposed, just like the tzitz. Kodesh la Hashem. That shin represents shakai. It should be exposed. And covering it too much is no good. Someone should be able to peek and see that shin. And even some person wanted to go so far to say, we don't accept this. And if you cover lo yotza, when it comes to the Tefillah Shel Yad, V'hayol L'chol O'sal Yadcha, cover it. The Tefillah Shel Rosh, Hakpad Gemura, it should be exposed. And if you are to dare cover the Tefillah Shel Rosh, some paiskim lo yatsa. You made a bracha levatala. I don't even make a bracha levatala because I'm putting it on at least for one moment, but it borders on bracha levatala. You have to keep it exposed so people should see. Okay, the Shem is going to sit there, but you have a yatsa. If a person doesn't do it, he covers it over the whole davening. He's also yatsa. But it's something at least the chatil to be mahadir to keep it exposed as it should be. Okay, we'll stop here. Pick up tomorrow.